Hello and welcome to episode number 51 of the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler. Great to be with you as always. And remember, you can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. We always love to hear from you with your feedback or comments. And if you have ideas for the show or things that you'd like to hear, then please do get in touch. Now, coming up on today's show, I'll be speaking with Arjun Tan from the US, who is involved in a really interesting project called the Augmented Cane. This could be a smart cane, or this is a smart cane, will be a smart cane, and we could all be traveling in a very interesting way in the not too distant future. Stay right where you are. Blind people have been relying on the white cane to navigate safely for many, many years. The white cane comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes, but in the last number of years, of course, smart canes and smart text attached to our traditional white cane have become more and more prevalent. Well, Arjun Tan is part of a group in the US who are looking at developing something called the Augmented Cane. This is a really interesting concept, and I was delighted just before Christmas to catch up with Arjun on Zoom. I have to preface this by saying that I was recording away from my office, not with my usual recording equipment, using a less than ideal headset, so I do apologize in advance for the quality. I started off the interview by welcoming Arjun to the show. Arjun, welcome, and thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, great to have you. Listen, I'm always interested in kind of the backstory, I suppose, if you like, before we talk about the cane. How did you get interested in long canes and blind people? Or do you know people who are blind, or how did you get here?
Yeah, so I guess the inspiration for this was the lab that we're working in, the Stanford Intelligent Systems Labs, works on a lot of different technologies for autonomous driving, for autonomous navigation, stuff like that. And the lead author, Patrick Slade, one of his friends who's a PhD student in the mechanical engineering department, has a vision impairment, and just mentioned this statistic that we found kind of surprising, that 50% of people with blindness don't leave the home or travel independently. And I guess we saw an opportunity to apply some of the technology, especially some of this new exciting technologies being developed around self-driving cars, to the existing problem of navigation for people with vision impairment. So it was really just the intersection of, the technology and a place that we thought it would make a lot of sense to apply it.
Okay. So you're kind of saying there's technology out there to help with self-driving cars, driverless cars. There's all sorts of, obviously there is GPS technology. Merging all this into a cane and then getting it to give the precise kind of information or feedback that a blind person needs, I would imagine is a big challenge, because it's very different to maybe what information a driverless car will give somebody driving it, right?
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of new challenges that come up when you're navigating on, for someone walking on foot and, versus driving. But fundamentally, a lot of the algorithms and techniques that are used to, for example, figure out where are the obstacles in your environment as you're moving through that environment, how do you plot a path that can safely take you from where you are now to your destination? Those same algorithms can be applied pretty easily to to walking on foot, to navigating with a smart white cane as well. So it does require some adaptation and some changes to the hardware, to the algorithms. But at the end of the day, many of the technologies are more or less very similar to the ones used in self-driving cars.
Okay. Give us a sense of how this might work. So you're walking with, does it look similar to current white canes that we kind of know and love?
Yeah, exactly. One of our ideas that based on interviews with users was that we're it doesn't make a lot of sense for a technology to try to replace the white cane, which a couple, you know, projects that we've seen have tried to do. White canes are pretty known and trusted by people with vision impairments. And, rather than trying to get rid of them, our goal is build on top of them. So you can still use it in many of the same ways as a traditional white cane. So for example, you can turn it off and use it exactly like a traditional white cane. You can, sweep it side to side, just like you would a traditional white cane. We wanted to kind of, mimic the behavior and use cases of a standard white cane and just augment and extend some of these capabilities using technology. So let me take a step back and describe some of, what it does and kind of what technologies and components the cane has on it. So we start with the traditional, standard white cane. There's a bunch of sensors mounted near the handle, and there's a wheel connected to a motor that's mounted at the tip of the cane. So when the user has it in their hand, resting on the ground, the wheel is making contact with the ground. And the idea is the sensors will gauge the environment, figure out where the obstacles are, where the user is relative to those obstacles, and the wheel is used to steer the user around the obstacle. So it doesn't have any vibrating feedback like a lot of other electronic white canes have. Our thought was that the wheel can provide instruction kind of similar to the way a guide dog works by, pulling you in one direction, left or right, based on, where obstacles are and which direction you're moving in. The wheel only goes, laterally, side to side. So it doesn't pull you forward or push you back. Your walking speed and whether how fast you're moving forward or whether you're stopped is totally controlled by the user alone. It's just the side-to-side direction that the cane exerts control over.
So the cane is rolling along the ground. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. So in the handle you have the sensors. The cane will presumably then sort of almost move you in the direction or prompt you to move if you're approaching something.
Yeah, exactly. So you feel kind of a push or pull in the direction that the cane, wants you to go in. So one of the interesting use cases that we were kind of experimenting with was to kind of provide an electronic or smart version of this, of like the shorelining technique, where a user will tap the cane against the wall in order to maintain a fixed distance against the wall, navigating along that wall. And to kind of mimic that function, you can hold the cane close to a wall and it'll, keep you a fixed distance to the wall in a similar way. So if you try to pull the cane away from it, the wheel will rotate you back to it. If you veer towards the wall, the wheel will rotate you away from the wall. So it kind of provides this, it feels almost like, a spring where if you move further away, it pulls you towards. If you move closer to it, it pushes you away. So maintaining this distance to the wall. And I think that kind of illustrates what it feels like or what kind of feedback the user experiences.
Yeah, I really like that idea. And does it also cover objects that are maybe head height? I'm thinking of overhanging branches that might be in your way. Will it try to veer you out of those?
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the important use cases that we had heard can be a problem for existing white canes. So it can detect stuff at torso and head height. That is something that we're working on with our next prototype. So it kind of misses obstacles right now that are right at head height. Excuse me. But in our next prototype, we're working on switching out sensors and changing things so that it can more accurately pick out obstacles that are, right at your head.
What about the whole concept of, I suppose, some of the other canes in this space have a companion app, and you can do things like kind of navigating and route mapping and that kind of stuff. And you would normally do that on the app, and then the cane kind of gets some info or some data shared by the app. Is there something similar planned for your cane?
Yeah, that's definitely on the horizon. What we have right now is just a research prototype. So we haven't, taken too much time to plan out, what the user experience in terms of, what apps to use and how to design the interface and all of that. But that is certainly something that's very important when it turns into an actual product. So right now we focused on just building the hardware and making sure the algorithms and sensors and everything work well. And that's so step two is to take all of that, improve it, and then also make it really easy for users to figure out how to use it and how to navigate with it, how to insert GPS instructions, stuff like that. So yeah, and a companion app is absolutely a big design goal for us.
Okay. One of the challenges I think sometimes with smart canes is that there's so much technology in the handle. The cane gets quite heavy. Have you guys had that problem, or are you looking at the overall weight of the device?
Yeah, so that's been a problem for our cane for sure. It's a little under 3 pounds as is, which is quite heavy for a white cane. We're looking to cut that cost down, really significantly. So in our next prototype, we're aiming for well under 1 pound, potentially even, below half a pound, just by changing out, what sensors we use, offloading a lot of the computation and sensing tasks to the user's phone. So for instance, we have a dedicated GPS chip inside of the device, and we realized that's really not that important if almost everybody has a smartphone in their pocket. So, we can, like you said, use a companion app to get GPS data from the user's phone. And that can, allow us to not use a ton of the, sensors and hardware that we currently have, on board.
Okay. And I imagine you've been sort of trialing this with people already, long cane users and people, I presume, with different levels of vision. What sort of feedback have you been getting from the community?
Yeah, so in our initial testing, we had people run like an obstacle course indoors using our device versus their standard white cane, with 12 users of white canes. And we got surprisingly positive feedback, better than honestly I had even expected. People were walking, more confidently. What we found was that people were able to walk faster and reach their destination in less time and in fewer steps using our device compared to their standard white cane. And to us, that communicated that people feel really confident using our cane if they're able to, really walk fast and, aren't too actively thinking about whether I'm going to collide into something. The other feedback that we got, so in terms of, what people said about it was, of course, the weight is something that needs to be improved, but people seemed really excited about it. They said that, if we're able to bring down some of these, the things that make it tricky to use, so for instance, the weight, and especially, the cost as well, that they're really excited to start using it. And then Stanford wrote a piece on us. We got a little bit of media coverage, and people have said really positive things. There's been a lot of buzz and excitement about, making this research prototype into an actual real product.
It's great to hear that feedback, Arjun, isn't it? And I suppose, as well as this whole thing of people walking more confidently, it shows that they have trust in your device, doesn't it? And that they trust the tech that you've put inside this cane.
Exactly. And I think that building on top of the white cane, like I said earlier, instead of trying to replace it with something completely different, helps build that sense of trust as well.
Okay. Now, you mentioned just there a moment ago, I suppose you preempted my next question, and I know some of these things are hard to answer, but coming from a research idea to a product, to something that maybe we can have in our hands, how far are we away from that? Because personally, I'm a long cane user, and I'm actually very excited listening to you here. I want to try it out. What's the roadmap, if there is such a thing at the moment?
Yeah, well, thank you for your excitement. That's always awesome to hear. So right now we're working on a second prototype, kind of incubating the technology and getting it to a point where it's really, we have like a bulletproof proof of concept at the very least. So beyond all of the challenges of making it like the companion app and stuff like that, we want to show that this can get to cost, weight, and power, within cost, weight, and power constraints that make it really easy to use for users. So the weight is a big downside of our current prototype. So we want to cut that down really significantly. And then I think after that, we'll start to think more in terms of, designing for the companion app and meeting a lot of the use cases that some of the other apps and stuff, have. So I think a big example of that is, having a mapping application that can interface with the cane. So you can, put in where you're trying to go, and then the cane can take that GPS information and just navigate with it. I'm not sure exactly how far away we are, but I think we'll hopefully be able to get out the next prototype in the next few months. And then from there, I think it'll be, maybe 6 months to a year before we have at least, a pilot program or a beta that we can get in people's hands and have them, testing and experimenting and figuring out ways to improve.
Okay, it's really exciting because it's an exciting piece of tech to watch for sure. Do you have any rough ballpark price points for that you think this thing might be at?
Yeah, so the prototype, which we produced with just buying off-the-shelf parts, all in quantities of one, cost $400 to put together, which was decent, considering the constraints. So long-term, when we're actually producing this as a product, buying in larger quantities, as well as, switching out some of the hardware, offloading some of the sensing tasks to the user's phone, we're hoping we can really cut that price point down, very significantly. We're not exactly sure how much yet, yeah. But, okay. It definitely won't be anywhere close to the $400 that the initial prototype took to put together.
Okay, sounds good. Is there a way that, I suppose, I have no doubt there'll be people listening to this show today who kind of say, I want to keep up to date, or I want to keep an eye on that product because I might like to get involved in the beta. Is there a way that people can kind of keep in touch with what you guys are doing?
Yeah, so I put together a really bare bones website. It's at mobilitycane.org. Okay. It just has a place for you to, put in your email address to sign up for like a newsletter, so that when we come out with the next prototype, if we're looking to have people test or give their feedback, we'll email everyone who's signed up there. It doesn't have any bells and whistles or anything. It's just that sign me up to keep in touch type thing.
That's really all you need, isn't it, at the moment, just to get people's interest.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. So people can go to mobilitycane.org, sign up. Arjun, it's really exciting. Thank you for sharing it with us today. We're looking forward to seeing where it goes in the future. But for the moment, thanks, Emil. Stay well, and we will stay in touch with you and hopefully catch up with you to hear more about the product as it continues to grow.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. So thank you so much for your time, and have a great holiday season.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to exploring that more and getting the augmented cane into my hand. I think the concept is very interesting, and the cane almost kind of pushing you back on track if you veer off. I love that idea, I have to say. So Arjan and his colleagues are doing great work already. I'm looking forward to staying in touch and finding out how that project progresses. That's just about all we have time for on this edition, but we'll be back soon. Until then, from Stuart Lawler and everybody at Sight & Sound Technology, stay safe and stay well, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.